Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Becky.
And Amanda. Hey, Amanda.
Hello.
Leah.
Hi.
And Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hello.
Heather's making her Wednesday night debut today.
I know. Jeez. My family has decided to get their act together.
Is it your for family or is it you?
Oh, yeah. Whatever. It's probably all of us. Let's be real.
It's fine. You missed the Meghan Quinn book, so you're safe.
Not sad.
But you still haven't read Rena Morgan, so just saying.
I'm getting voted off the island.
The hits just keep coming over there. So we are back with our Wednesday night book club style episodes. This is week three. And this week, our pick is the Buzzing About Romance May book club pick. So if you're part of the Buzzing About Romance Patreon, one of the things that we do each month is host our book club. And you, as a member of the Patreon, the month before the book club, we have usually the author picked. And then You tell us what, we give you like a choice of 3 to 4 books. And you tell us which of their books you want to read. So this month, our author was Marie Johnston, who is a community favorite and Leah is a stan for. Yes. She was our author, and the book that won from the Buzzing About Romance Patreon is The King's Crown, which is book one in the Oil Kings series. So if you are listening to this, we actually last on Saturday night, in May, we sat down with Marie Johnston. We got to ask her questions. We got to talk about the book.
It was amazing.
And if you are interested in being a part of the Buzzing About Romance book club, you can find details on our website or just check out our Patreon. Book club's a great time.
Mm-hmm. So fun.
It can be a lot sometimes, but it's a good time.
It can. I've kind of started putting a midnight deadline on it. Because There was a while there, Jenny, it would be 2 or 3 in the morning and you and I would, we gotta go to bed.
We did a lot of like late night ones because I think with Jiffy Kate, it was like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, there's been a few. So, but yeah, we'd love to have you join us for Buzzing About Romance, Buzzing Book Club. You can find details on our website. So, on this episode, we're discussing King's Crown by Marie Johnston. This is book one in the Oil King series. It's also, again, our May Buzzing Book Club pick. In our new format, we're diving into the books, book club style. We will discuss them. We will spoil them. So if you have not read this book, you might want to pause it, go read it, and then come back and listen. We will sip and chat about this title and whatever title we select for each of the following Wednesdays. So stick with us for the next little while as we break down the enchanting details. So things to know before we start. The release date is February 24 of 2020. Tropes, age gap, forced proximity, because they're snowed in, one bed, and they are co-workers. Will they end up being co-workers?
Yeah, they're not co-workers to start with.
Do we have any other tropes that I missed?
I mean, he's a single dad. He's a widower.
These are older, would you say older characters? Mature characters?
He's like 40-something and she's in her 20s, I think.
He's 28, late 20s. He's 48.
Okay, yeah. 28, 48.
Yeah.
I feel like she's almost a single mom.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost, yeah.
Like, she's very involved in her siblings' lives. So, like, she is very hands-on.
Almost co-parent raising siblings kind of vibes.
Yeah.
The series is The Oil Kings. It is a standalone romance. It is dual first person point of view. Put out percentage was 45%, but that was not P and V at 45%, but it was almost. There was a lot of things that happened in that 45%. Audio narrators, if you did the audiobook, are Kelsey Navarro and Tor Tom. I did the audiobook and it was fantastic.
I agree. So good.
I like this audiobook a lot.
The ebook is available in Kindle Unlimited and the audio was part of Kobo Plus.
The whole series, friends. is in Cobalt Plus.
Is in Cobalt Plus.
Okay. Everyone saw so on Hoopla.
Oh, was it on Hoopla too?
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, awesome.
Well, and if you hit chirp at the right time, she'll have, like, every once in a while, there will be a sale. Because I have it, but I have the box set of the first three, and I think I got it for, like, 99 cents or something like that.
Oh, nice. Same. I just haven't listened to it. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I bought it, too.
Nice. Yeah, it was, like, super cheap, and I was really excited. So.
Make sure you follow Marie Johnston on social media so you can get all the insights of when her books are on sale. Okay, so let's talk Oil Kings and King's Crown, which let's start off with Kendall. We kind of hinted at who she is a little bit. She's our heroine. She's not the oldest child. She's just the oldest daughter.
Right. She is.
And I think
it's one of those things. She's the oldest daughter, but everything kind of fell on her to take charge, essentially. Like, there's... How many is there, like, six of them or something?
There's
like that?
There's six of them, yeah.
Yeah.
But she's very involved. Like, she basically, like, keeps her schedule. Like, that is one of the reasons, like, her and her ex broke up, because, like, he hated the fact that she's so involved in her family's lives and, like, needs to be there for them.
It annoyed me, like, for her sake. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. It felt like she wasn't allowed to have a life, and she was thrust into the responsibility. Not like she didn't mind it, but she really wasn't given a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, the sheer number of times they call her, like, uh-huh. the first night that they're gone is, I mean, it's like constant.
But I do feel like eventually, like, through the book, she did set better boundaries, because, like, Gentry, like, supported the fact that she was so involved, but he also was like, you need to pull back at certain times. And, like, I feel like the boundaries were better established, like, once he came into her life. So, like, she realized that she was taken advantage of to a point, but, like, she didn't not want them to have what she could give them, because if she didn't do it, they would miss out.
I think Go ahead, Jenny.
She needed that permission, right? Mm-hmm. To, like, give away some of the control. Like, mm-hmm. hey, they can take care of themselves.
I think one of the things that is done really well in this book is the way that it starts off. We really get a glimpse and a foundation as to who Kendall is. Mm-hmm. And she comes off as strong, smart, competent. Yeah. She's not looking for a quick, easy ride or to make a buck or take advantage, which really plays into the longevity of this story that you can really tell, because of the choices that were made in that situation, there's a lot of understanding as to why she makes the decisions she's going to make throughout the rest of the book.
Mm-hmm. Julie actually makes a good point in the chat. She says she's giving more than she actually had to give in the beginning. Like, she was running herself ragged, like, to do everything for herself and for them.
I agree.
I think it sets it up too. Oh, sorry, Jenny, go ahead.
I was going to say, can we talk about her living situation?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's Amanda. First, Amanda, what were you going to say about Kendall? And then we'll go to the living situation.
I was just going to say, too, that how her life has gone to this point sets it up in a way that it made the age gap much easier for me to handle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because she's been through this lived experience and she's basically raised a family already, mm-hmm. it puts her on a similar level to Gentry with where they're at in their lives, even though there's a 20-year age gap.
Yeah.
Well, and even the way she carried herself, she was much more mature than your typical 28-year-old.
Well, let's talk about her living situation because, wow, first of all, she's 28, and it does make you feel better to know that at 28, she really didn't have her shit together.
No.
Right?
Well, she might be an old soul, but she's a hot mess, just like the rest of us.
Jenny, did it bug you that she was still coexisting with the ex?
Yeah, it was just awkward. Like, I mean, I understood it from a financial standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it played out, I was like, well, yeah, kind of saw that coming. I would not put myself in that situation.
Well, and I felt bad for her because in the end, she knew that going home, moving back into home would expand her plate 2,000-fold, which we're talking about. Like that first night that she's snowed in with Gentry, it's like 17 phone calls in the matter of a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wanted to be like, these children have actual parents.
They do. Right.
And it's clear that nobody relies on their parents. They don't
Right. Like they don't know to go to mom and dad first.
Yes. Well, I think that was the thing that always bugged me. It's like when I needed something, I always went to my parents, like not my siblings.
But they've been trained to not. I mean,
this is true. Yeah.
That makes sense in a large family dynamic, to be honest.
Yeah.
In a large family dynamic, that just makes sense. Because they were small business owners and always gone and always working. But there is a line in it where she's talking to her brother, who is older and expecting a child. And she says, gosh, it's good to know that someone's having a baby I'm not expected to take care of. Mm-hmm. But also, he kind of reminds her, you can put boundaries in place.
Yeah.
It's okay to turn your phone off. And I still don't think in the end she gave herself that permission.
I don't think she did, but I think having Gentry like basically take that power away from her in a way like was good for her.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Gentry's character and then we'll get to the Snowden one bed part. So let's talk about Gentry. I have to say he was a little bit too much of a beta character for me.
I didn't expect him to be more than that though. Like
Dude, come on. He let his children rule his life. Like he felt guilt for being lonely. And then the mother-in-law, mother-in-law.
She's horrible.
She's horrible.
He's the head of a company. Be smart enough to work some things out. Use your big boy voice.
But I think with him, the problem is like, they got married so young. She died fairly young. Like he floundered for a really long time.
Which would have been fine in that moment if we had gotten him post grief, like in that 3 to 5 years post death. But it'd been a minute. It'd been 10 plus years. He's raised his children.
Well, but he didn't really in the same way. Like he kind of let them do their own thing.
I don't know. He bugged me. And I know he's supposed to be like this cinnamon roll and this really squishy nice guy. It just doesn't fit CEO, head of a company.
Have to be the mean one because he had terrible grandma.
He's not making any of the decisions. Like he didn't make the decision to get married. He didn't make the decision to like go into oil.
He is just the face of the company and she pulls all the strings.
But don't you think he was a little bit of a face then when it came to the relationship? He didn't have this strong dynamic person. He was not a problem solver. And there were obstacles that were constantly in his way in this relationship with Kendall, the kids, you know, with her family dynamic, his children, his mother-in-law, the job, her living situation. And they, you know, had to hide their relationship. I just wanted him to be more powerful and more dynamic.
Well, but more assertive too.
Yeah.
He could have been more assertive. Yeah. Yeah,
it was just one of those things like in the book, I kept waiting.
Well, but I will
for that
say,
one big swoony moment where he like said, I am a grown up. I am the boss. This is what we're doing. And it really didn't happen until the epilogue in the end, which again, you guys, because we're doing these episodes, I'm reading fucking epilogues.
I will say, though, like with his character arc throughout the series, like he gets that backbone as the series continues. And I feel like this was a really good like opening book to like show like where she wanted these characters to be by the end of the series. And like with his character, it just took him a little bit longer to get there, but he needed Kendall and he needed the kids like to repair the relationship with the kids for him to be where he was by Aiden's book, which I get it's like his book and you want that in his book, but
he was also a grown ass adult. I'm just saying.
I think he felt really guilty for a lot of things. Right.
And Sue brings that up. Guilt is a powerful motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that. I just, in my romances, I just wanted him to be a little more dynamic.
But if I think he grew a lot in the sense that he realized that guilt was driving this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was working on repairing that relationship. I mean, he has, what, 4 or 5 kids? Like, it's a lot of kids that you got.
4 boys.
4 boys. Mm-hmm. So you got, I mean, you got to
repair
the relationship with 4 adults. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing. Like, since he was the first book, like, in each of their books, like, there was a lot of that relationship building, relationship work. And they basically, all 4 of the boys had it out with him in their own, like, subsequent books. And so, like, and
that's one of the things. But we didn't read this as a series.
It is a series. We didn't read the series.
But we didn't read this as a series. We read this as a standalone one.
I'm just saying, like, you get more from him throughout the series.
Which is fine. But for this book in this moment, I didn't.
You wanted more.
I wanted more. It just felt like, and that is, that like you're saying, he does get better throughout the books
mm-hmm.
as we go. I just don't feel like we got more than his surface here.
Yeah.
That's all. I just really wanted more emotion. But again, the book's kind of short. It's only 247 pages.
Yeah, it's almost a novella.
Yeah.
But Julie says he's a lot like Kendall with his family. His family had a lot of power over him, and she thinks that's why he empathized with her.
Probably it was that connection. Okay, mm-hmm. So I've picked on him enough. Heather really loved him. He was a good dirty talker.
Yeah, I mean, that's why.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
if he says all the dirty words, Heather loves them. Let's talk about one bed trope. So this, mm-hmm. I think, is a lovely example of one bed trope done well, unlike that other book we read. or not read, if you're Amanda and Jenny.
Everybody else.
Sorry, I tried.
So let's talk about one bed. The fact that he was willing to sit in the chair and, like, wait it out.
Well, the part of that is so... Gentry, like, after his wife died, like, he became a dirty whore, basically, like, and slept with anything for years and years and years, and, like, gets called out on it. So he's on, like, a celibacy kick.
For, like, 6 months.
For 6 months, yes. So dude is tempted. No, it's only 6 months.
Was it? I felt like it was longer, but.
Yeah, when he's talking to the bartender in the front of the book, he says, you know, 6 months ago, you would have wanted me to give you her number.
Her coworkers in that scene, her coworkers were dirty, nasty people, and they got forgiven too quickly.
Yeah.
I wanted them tortured a little bit.
Maybe they got into an accident in the snow or something.
Yes.
Don't shake your head at me, Jenny.
My favorite part of the whole one bed thing is when he was working and she sees his computer and she's like, what size font is that? And he's like, you know what? It's like 40 something. She's like, get a life. That's like 56. Just put your reading glasses on. And he's like, I mean, I'm not that old. I don't need reading.
I love that.
I thought that was hilarious.
Well, because
I always think of our Kindles, like when that stuff pops up.
All, you know, it's not funny, but it was funny.
No joke. I've made my Kindle font bigger 9 recently.
I read it 9 now because my eyes. But no, it's funny because
I'm getting old.
I would not say that my husband is vain, but the reading glasses thing is something that's been a bit of a bother for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feel like you've tipped to that middle age.
Yeah.
My husband had to give a eulogy recently, and he was like, I have to read with glasses. He's like, there's no way unless there was like one word on each page. So he was like, I've never looked at myself with glasses. I don't. And I'm like, honey, we all see like.
But also,
so weird.
Most of the people out there probably are wearing glasses.
Probably.
I know. So he like, you know, he follows.
Oh, did he put on his glasses? She thinks his glasses are hot, though.
She does think his glasses are hot.
Super attractive with glasses.
I love the scene when the guy's in bed and he has to put his reading glasses on. I think it's hot.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite micro trips, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, and then there's another scene where the glasses come in.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very well done. Very hot.
Well, and just the whole snowed in aspect, because like it's a multiple day snow in. It's not like this like random like one day blizzard and then the snow is magically gone the next day. Like it's a true like North Dakota winter snowstorm.
Right. And they're not in like a hotel person. It's more like a bed and breakfast. Like you know, like this old-ish, but it's still clean place that like was not first on your list, but you needed somewhere.
And it wasn't a roadside inn. It was absolutely like some kind of upper establishment.
Like a little kitschy type place but that not you want to visit.
Yeah.
And like they play card games and stuff, and one of the sons says to her, my dad played like Go Fish.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, we had so much fun. And he's like, my dad, Gentry King, was playing card games with you. And she's like, yeah. He was like, okay.
I really liked that part because, like you said, a lot of times we get snowed in, it's one day. And all of a sudden, oh, the roads are clear. You're free to go.
Yeah.
But for these two, especially because they were basically strangers coming on the airplane and going into the hotel, they didn't know much about each other than Kendall was headed to a job interview with his son.
Yeah.
He didn't know much. And I like that it, that they had these 4 days to kind of marinate on this relationship, that forced proximity intensity. And I do. I love forced proximity when it is done like this, you know?
Yeah.
Give me a good kidnapping. Give me a good hostage situation. Give me a good snowed in for days. I'm there.
I like a good hurricane also.
Could hurt.
But honestly, that's realistic for like that area of the wind. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So they did not do the pillow wall, but they did get the sheet one on above the sheet, one under the sheet. Which
the pillow walls never work, people.
Neither does the sheet thing.
They were in like a small bed.
The sheet's just uncomfortable for everyone.
Yeah, but things, they have to go through sheets.
Leah, thinking out the logistics. Can you dry hug through a sheet?
I mean, you can.
I use a pillow wall and it works very effectively.
When do you use a pillow wall?
Every night. Every night.
Why do you pillow ball your husband?
Because my husband is a whole foot taller than me and he breathes down. It's a thing. I know.
I can relate. Do not breathe on me.
A giant
But I'm trying to like picture this. Like he breathes down on you?
Yeah, it's a whole thing. Don't look at me. Don't breathe on me. I get that.
I have to have my feet touch the end of the bed. And so
he
is something, you know, he's.
That seems like
a jolly green giant.
My head's at the top of the bed, and then my feet are just,
Why do your feet need to touch the bottom of the bed?
I'm neuro spicy. I don't know what to tell you. But so I know pillow walls can work effectively if you want them to.
Okay.
I think the people in one bed don't want them to work effectively.
This is true.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Now we know, romance authors of the world, the pillow wall not working is a myth.
It's a myth. So
for some people,
Heather is our myth buster tonight.
In this book, Gentry makes several grand gestures throughout this book that I think that were really well done. For example, he offers her a position in the Billings office and she says, no, I really need it to be in this town because this is where my family is and the amount of time and energy I have to give them. I don't want to be that far away from them. So he moves the position. So that's one of the grand gestures.
Yeah.
When she gets ditched by her coworkers at the bar that he just happens to constantly frequent, they set her up. He takes her home. And then there is when the two of them are caught together by, it's Amelia, right? That's the grandmother's name.
It is.
When they're caught by her, he, you know, she quits, but he goes out of the way to make things, like give her a signing bonus and to make things easier for her so that she can keep her apartment. And, you know, he takes her to the farm to show her where he's from in the ranch and stuff. So there were all these like small little micro swoony moments with him. Did you have a favorite one? Did anyone have a favorite one?
I just really enjoyed him showing her like the ranch and like where like he and the boys basically grew up together. And like the element of like the boys meeting her in that situation, I just really enjoyed the way that that was written.
I liked when he showed up to her brother's baseball game.
Oh, that was a good one.
When they went to like the diner or whatever, and the ex came out and he like
didn't know who
like,
anybody was.
He's like, clearly this is so-and-so and this is so-and-so.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, and he's like, I just met them tonight, but just no. I mean, like, he just did that so well. He was like a big F you to this guy.
Yeah.
Like, and it was done very, like, maturely, but also like a nice little jab, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I like her siblings might lean on her, but they actually do very much care for her.
True.
Well, and that's the thing, like they lean on her, but they appreciate what she does for them. Like they know the sacrifices, like they understand that like what she's doing is like sacrificing for them, and they appreciate it and they show that appreciation too.
Yeah. So the ending of this book is finally Gentry stands up to Amelia, hires Kendall. And the thing is in all of their discussions, because of her family dynamic and also because he's an older dude, they make the choice to be child free. Like he's had a vasectomy. She doesn't say, oh, you need to reverse that.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that it was talked about. It was accepted as that where they were in their lives. And there's no surprise, because I went peeking through the other books down the line. They don't have an oops baby. Like this is clearly a couple that is their HEA is child free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and she has like an extended epilogue that they talk about it again because they're watching her, like her niece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I just really like that.
I love the fact that she made the decision for these characters to stick to their choices. Because so many books, we've read, where like they're not, like one of them is adamant they're not going to have kids, or they're both adamant, but then they have the oops baby, or they're like, oh, we're in this happy bubble now. Let's like procreate because it's expected of us. But I like the fact that like, even though that she's younger, like she knew, like I've raised these kids already. Like I am comfortable just being like a grandma in the future.
Yeah. And it's consistent with her character. Like it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my favorite part too, is their choice to not be parent, like have babies.
I just like that they talked about it.
Yeah.
It was a really mature adult conversation, and nobody tried to change each other's mind, and nothing accidentally happens.
Well, and there's no fight about it either. Like it was just like discussion.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things, like Gentry did question like whether or not like this was like a decision that she really wanted to do, but like they discussed it and she's like, I really am content not having kids of my own. And I love that so much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because she said something about like how many diapers she changed. I'm like, I get it. Like,
And to be honest, I wish that we had more books like this.
Yeah.
You know, same. I went looking and I could only find a handful with couples. Sorry. I could only find a couple that were child-free HEA that stayed child-free HEAs, that an epilogue or down the series didn't change. And, you know, we know just in our own group, it's a very diverse.
Yeah.
We're all very diverse, right? I mean, yeah. We have, you know, like if we think about like Danica, she has a partner, no intention of being married. You know, Jenny has four kids and a Jeremy. Amanda does not have children. Leah has two. I have two. Heather has two. Lindsay doesn't have any. We just, it's more realistic to have a variety, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
And it's the same kind of piece as wanting to see like plus size heroines. Don't we all want to be seen in our version of an HEA?
Yep. Well, but also the fact that like she is allowing you to see like you don't have to have kids to have your HEA.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, because that there are a lot of people out there who can't have kids or won't have kids, and they're put down because of it. It's like there's always that question, when are you going to have kids? It's like, well, I don't want them, or I can't have them.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you get years that
until I got close to 40, and I was like, yeah, I'm pretty much past that point. Yeah.
Don't so you want to wear a t-shirt that just says,
"I'm not having kids,
not doing it"?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I don't know how many times I would get asked, and then also too because we waited a long time to get married, so it was the married. When are you getting married? And then it was like, when are you having kids? And it was finally like, well, you need to hurry up and get married so you can have kids. And I was like, well, we're not having kids, so thanks.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But isn't it nice to see that?
Just one.
But like, isn't it nice to see that in the HEA, though? Like.
Yeah. No, I love it. Like, Susan Stoker does it sometimes. And then there are some other authors that I read that do it. And, like, I'll see people go into their, like, Facebook reader groups and say, well, when are you going to give them a kid? Like, why can't they have a kid? And like authors have to defend it. Like I see it all the time.
It is. Yeah. I think it's more common to not have children than people
realize.
Actually think it is.
My sister is child free. By choice.
Both of our siblings are.
Yeah. By choice.
Well, I worked really hard to have kids and have four of them. And sometimes I'm like, you know what? Maybe this wasn't.
I think we all think that in the moment.
I have two teenagers right now, and I'm like, hot damn, who wants a teenager right now?
I'm in a happy place. I have young adults that, you know, well, they're different anyway. Do they need me? But okay, that brings me.
You live the neurospicy life.
I do live the neurospicy life. So that brings us to our last segment here. If you enjoyed this book, so if you enjoyed King's Crown by Marie Johnston, what books might you consider also checking out? So we have a couple of tropes to think about when recommending this book. So if you like a big age gap, I picked Bad Liar by Lauren Rowe, because that's a large age gap where he's pretty established and she's just starting to establish herself. My True Love by Melissa Foster hits small town and age gap.
Oh, I love that book so much.
We know. Ignite by Melanie Harlow hits age gap and small town. Bet Me by Jennifer Cruzy hits age gap and child free. And then Southern Center by Jessica Peterson is small town and child free by choice. Is that one an age gap, Heather?
What sibling is it?
I'm not. One? I don't remember.
I don't know either. I forgot.
I think that's siblingless by choice.
It's childless by choice. And Home Field Advantage by Liz Lincoln. It's part of a football series. Child free by choice. So, does anyone else have any other book recs to follow into those tropes?
I had a couple.
Go ahead.
I had a Melissa Foster book too, but I had His Wicked Ways, which is in the Wicked series, and it's Blaine and Reese. And so it's an age gap. And then also she is a guardian to her sibling in that one as well. And it's small town. And then for the Snowed In, I had The Protector by Susan Stoker because it's, you know, that's one of my favorite Snowed Ins. And then
That was our book club pick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We have a thing.
It's also one bed.
I know.
He was one
it was
bed.
What?
But he has the flu.
Oh, one bed, yeah. And then also, if you want to try one of Marie Johnson's other series, she has the Make Me Merry, which is like her holiday novella. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge age gap with Colt and Nora, and they are snowed in as well. So
yes,
Marie, I think Marie likes this snowed situation
in.
Here.
Yeah, because she, I think she has a snowed in every contemporary series, or like a one bed, like forced proximity yeah. in every single one of her contemporary series.
So and it works. So.
Heather, yes. any books, if you like, King's Crown that they should try?
I mean, you should probably be reading the Oil Knight series.
Mm-hmm.
And
the new one.
Fearless Memory comes out tomorrow, and y'all are going to want to read it.
So excited.
Okay.
Yeah, it's real good.
Jenny, do you have any book recs?
I can't think like off the top of my head. I need you to remind me on Wednesday.
Okay, well.
Stassi said Gold Rush by Jenny Bunting is a child free by choice.
Okay. Mm. You guys, it's in the doc. Like, it's a line in the doc that says, if you like
do
these
we
books.
Look at the doc, though?
No, I looked at it earlier and completely forgot. I knew this while we were talking.
I don't know.
I pull up the doc when I click
I
into
got
the
here
Zoom.
On time. I feel like that deserves like a
I'm over here looking at the degrees while we're talking.
Heather gets that one.
She's in race.
Danica's one, Roxy and Benny, they're going to be child-free by choice.
Benny. His name is Benny, not Manny. Contrary to what you might have heard, it's a rumor. Taken by the Grump by Aaron Havoc is an age gap. Okay, so be sure to visit our website to stay tuned on our upcoming selections. We already have June's reading list out. July's will drop June 1st. And if you're a member of the Buzzing About Romance Patreon, you can contribute to our Sip and Discuss picks. Like right now, I'm looking for sports recs that are part of the Olympics over on Patreon. So go check that out. Join us this Sunday night for our next Buzzing About Romance episode. I don't remember what we're talking about. Heather, what are we talking about on Sunday? Because it's you, me, and Amanda.
It's the book tracking stuff.
It's the tracking.
Yeah. That's right.
Remember, I get to completely nerd out and tell everyone about my Google form.
Yes.
She has to explain it to me because I don't know how to use it.
Heather's Google form is coming.
She's very excited, friends.
You guys.
Very excited.
I'm so nerdy, but that's okay.
I mean, if it makes a pie chart, Heather's a happy lady. And so also mark your calendars for next Wednesday when we dive into Caris by Sadie Kincaid, which is a male-female romance. And I have the audiobook. I have an audiobook ahead of it that I have to read. And then I'm headed into.
Who does the audio for this one? Do you know off the top of your head?
Well, I'm going to look here real quick because I actually whisper synced it for the 749.
Mm-hmm.
From I borrowed the KU book, and then
it is Angelina Rocco,
yeah,
Rocco, Bradley Ford, and J.F. Harding.
Ooh, I have never heard of the Bradley Ford guy, but the other two I like.
Yeah, I do.
It was not Whisper Sync originally, but it is now Whisper Sync. You're welcome.
Okay. And then, like I said, check out our website for all of our upcoming episodes and all that good stuff. Everyone, thank you so much for hanging out and sipping and discussing about King's Crown with me tonight.
I'm just happy everybody was forced to read Marie finally.
Right? We just keep pushing. Basically, these episodes are our TBR agendas, which means we're going to have to do a Rena Morgan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a Rena Morgan. Yeah. I think we could probably do that in September when we do coworkers.
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Well, I got it already downloaded and ready to go for the drive on down. And Justin said it better be spicy. That's all I'm telling you.
Justin will not be disappointed.
He will not be sad. Okay. Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.